Well, I want to extend a welcome to everybody else. You know, you guys are all important too. I'm excited God has brought us together. If you would take just a moment, fill out the connection card that hopefully you picked up or received when you came in the front. Please drop this in the box as you leave along with your offerings. We'll get to that a little later, but when you leave this morning, that's your way of letting us know if you fill out that card. But again, I'm really excited that you're here today, and we're going to continue in our series that we started last week, answering the question, why Jesus? And in that, we're going to be wrestling with the question that Jesus asked his disciples some 2,000 years ago. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? And it's important that we wrestle with that question personally. Who do you say Jesus is? What is it that you really believe about him? And I think this is an important question, and it's important to be a part of this series because this isn't just an intellectual exercise that we're doing. I want you to really dig into this for yourself. Don't just accept what I have to say or what somebody else has taught you in the past about who Jesus is. I want you to do the research for yourself. Dig into the Word. Seek him. Talk to God. Do the research yourself. Find out what it is you believe about who Jesus is, about who the most important person who's ever walked the face of this earth, who he is to you. Because, you know, this is something we have to take seriously. I want you to know the real Jesus. And if you want to experience Jesus in your life in a very real way, you need to know who he is. And the answer that you give to this question, who Jesus is, it's going to affect your life today, and it's going to affect your life for all eternity. You know, so I believe this is one of the most important questions, if not the most important question that you'll ever have to answer in this life. Who do you say that Jesus is? Last week, we started this series off by looking at Jesus as the Messiah. And we talked about what it meant that Jesus came to forgive us of our sins. This week, I want us to look at Jesus and how he meets all of our needs. How does he do that? Back in 1943, American psychologist Abraham Maslow, he outlined a hierarchy of human needs that are common to people all over the world. Doesn't matter where you come from, what culture you live in, we all share these five common levels of needs. And there should be a slide of them up here. Did you go to that slide yet? You know, when you came in here today, you brought with you some problems as you came in, and as we go through this pyramid, I'm going to describe some of these different levels. As we go through, I want you to see if you can identify where your deepest needs are right now today. We're going to start at the bottom of the pyramid with some of the fundamental needs, and we're going to work our way up. Okay, the most fundamental of needs that we all have are physical or survival needs. This includes things like air, food, shelter, water, things like that. And without having these needs met in our life, we can't worry about, or we don't worry about, having any of our higher level needs met. We have to have these needs met before we can go any further. Do I have enough to survive? The next level up is safety or security. Do I feel safe? How am I doing physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, financially? And then the level above that is the level of love and belonging. This is where friendships fall in, intimacy, family. You know, do I have a sense of belonging to something bigger than just myself? And I know that's a big one for a lot of people these days, especially with this whole shelter-in-place thing going on. Okay, the next level is self-worth or your identity, your accomplishments. In other words, when I look in the mirror in the morning, do I like the person that's looking back at me? How is my self-worth? How do I feel about my self-identity? And then the highest level needs, they're reaching your full potential. In other words, am I the person that God created me to be? Am I living out my ultimate purpose in life? Am I living a life that's fulfilling? And here's the interesting thing about this hierarchy of needs. Again, I can't think about reaching my full potential, living out what God has for me, if my more basic needs are not being met. If I I can't think about, do I like that person in the mirror if I don't feel safe and secure? You have to take care of the basic level needs before you can begin to think about the higher level needs. And the point here is that we all have needs. All of us. Every one of us have needs. And we'll do all sorts of things to try to meet our needs. And we'll sacrifice the higher level needs to meet some of the lower level needs. That's why sometimes people will stay in situations that really aren't that healthy, but they want to have that sense of belonging, that sense that it's where they feel secure. So we'll sacrifice our higher level needs so that our lower level needs will be met. That's just part of our human nature. But here's the thing, and we need to get this. I have needs, and I can meet some of my needs, but I can't meet all of my needs. That applies to each and every one of us. And then beyond that, we have friends in our life. We are, one or two people. They can meet some of our needs, but they can't meet all of our needs. In fact, there's only one person that we can trust on, that we can rely on to meet all of our needs, and that's Jesus. From the basic needs of survival to discovering your purpose in life, reaching your full potential of who God created you to be, the only one you can depend upon to help you with all those needs is Jesus. And today, I want to show you why you can trust Jesus with all of your needs, why you can trust him to meet all of your needs. And to do that, I want us to explore a story that's from the Christian scriptures, the New Testament portion of our Bible. In fact, this story is found in all four historical accounts of Jesus' life that we have in the Bible, all four Gospels. It's in there. But we're going to look at this story from the book of Matthew. But before we get into that, last week we started this theological moment. I want to pause for a little bit here and do a theological moment for this morning. And this morning, we're going to look at the word epistiastes. Epistiastes. It's spelled out up there. I told Daniel, when you come across a Greek word or a name, you don't know what it sounds like, just pretend, just run with it. Nobody else will know the difference. But anyway, I want us to take a moment and look at this word, epistiastes. And I'm going to go through this rather quickly because this entire message revolves around it. We're going to be expanding on this throughout this entire message. So epistiastes, it's Greek for provider, overseer, or master. Those are the three major translations of that Greek word in the Christian scriptures, in the New Testament. And this morning, we're going to look at how Jesus fulfills all of those roles. In fact, Jesus oversees all things. There's nothing that goes on that he doesn't know about. Whatever need it is that you have, he's aware of it. He knows about it. Not only is he aware, but he's able to provide for that need because Jesus has access to unlimited resources. So as epistiastes, Jesus can provide for all of your needs. As I said, we're going to develop this more as we go along this morning. But let's look at Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 14. It says, "A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick." But look, immediately Jesus sees this crowd and he begins to meet their most basic level needs. He's healing their sick, their need for survival. Verse 15, "That evening the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus replied, 'That isn't necessary. You feed them.' 'Impossible,' they exclaimed. 'We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Okay, the disciples are looking around. It's getting late in the day. They're starting to panic because they realize they don't have enough food to feed this crowd. And, so many people, so little food, and they identify this need. They go to Jesus. They say, 'Tell the people to go away and fend for themselves.' And Jesus says, 'No, I have another idea, because I am the epistiastes. I am the provider.'" Okay? So Jesus says, this is his response, "Bring them here." He's talking about the loaves and fish. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and asked God's blessing on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave some of the bread and the fish to each disciple, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men had eaten from those five loaves, in addition to all the women and children. They started with five loaves and two fish. What would have been probably enough for a meal for one, maybe two people, a very small meal. But Jesus, he blesses it, and he begins to break it, gives it to disciples to pass out. Everybody has as much as they want. And then they collect at least 12 times more than what they started with as leftovers. So Jesus, as a Pestis, he took a handful of resources and met everyone's needs as far as getting fed. You see, limited resources are not a limitation for God. They're not a limitation for Jesus. With Jesus, there's always enough to meet everybody's needs. And what we need to know here is that today, Jesus can meet our needs in the same way. Whatever it is that you came in here with, worried about, whatever unmet need you might have, whether it's a basic need like a health need or a relational need or a higher lover need, like finding your purpose in life, Jesus can meet that need if you will trust him, if you will trust him with that need. So how does Jesus meet all of my needs? If we're going to trust Jesus to meet all of our needs, there's five critical decisions that we need to make. And the first decision that I have to make is this. Jesus meets my needs when I bring them to Jesus. Kind of makes sense. If I want Jesus to meet my need, I need to give it to him first, right? He can't meet it if I don't give it to him. Now, it may sound simple, but all too often, when we have a need, God, Jesus, he's the last one we turn to. When we encounter a need, we try to take charge. We try to solve it ourselves. We try to accomplish or fix it ourselves. And when that fails, we'll turn to somebody else. We'll turn to a friend or a family member. We might even try to Google it. And then once we run out of options, once we reach the end of our rope, when we have nowhere else to turn, that's when we end up turning to God. Okay. Think about that. We have access to the one who fed 5,000 men plus women and children with five loaves of bread and two fish. We have access to him. Yet, we only bring our needs to him as a last resort. Now, there's nothing wrong with sharing your need with a friend or a family member, trying to ask for their advice. Nothing trying to take the initiative yourself, trying to find out what you need to do to get through your situation. But before you do anything else, you need to take that need. You need to bring that need to Jesus. Tell him what your problem is. Talk to him about it, and let him direct you on where to go, how to find a solution to that problem. Okay, going back to our story, the disciples, they saw a need, and the only fix they could see was to send the people away to fend for themselves. But Jesus says, no, I'm the provider, I'm the epistiestes, and I'm going to meet this need. Now, I can only imagine the disciples at that time looking at Jesus and thinking, what, are you nuts? We've got only a little bit of food here. How are we going to feed everybody with nothing? But look at what Jesus says. Let's go back to verse 18. Jesus says, bring them here. Bring the loaves, bring the fish to me. But Jesus says, bring your needs to me first. What if when we had a need, we went to God first instead of as a last resort? You see, Jesus, he loves you so much. He understands what your needs are. He wants to meet your needs. Now, as Epistiestes, he is the one with unlimited resources. He's the one that has complete control over everything. Nothing goes on without his being aware of it. He can handle whatever the need is that you have. So bring whatever your need is to Jesus first and trust him with it. You know, if you're facing a health need or struggling in your marriage or whatever that need is, bring that need to Jesus. And when you do, here's God's promise to you. Psalm 52 or 55 verse 22 says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. So what need is it that you have that you need to bring to Jesus, that you need to give to him right now? Take it to him, trust him with it, and trust that he will take care of you. Now, once you've made the decision to give your need to Jesus, the second decision that I need to make is I need to remain thankful during my time of need. I need to remain thankful to Jesus during this time of need. Now, again, I have to be honest with you. This is one that I struggle with because it's not always easy to be thankful. We like to slip in. I like to slip in, unfortunately, to grumbling and whining and complaining about my situations all more than I'd like to admit. You know, it's not always easy to be thankful, especially when you have this big need in your life that's going unmet. You know, it's easy to be thankful when everything's going fine, when everything's going your way. But when you lose your job, when money starts running out, when you have a loved one that's in the hospital that's not doing well, it's not always easy to remain thankful, is it? Look at what Paul wrote to the church that he started in Thessalonica. He says, "No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Okay, notice he doesn't say, be thankful for the problem. You know, he's not teaching us to be thankful for those problems or for the pain or for the suffering that's in our lives. You know, God takes no pleasure in the pain in our lives. You know, what Paul is encouraging us to do is that no matter what's going on, look for something that you can be thankful for. We can always do that. But how can I be thankful when I'm facing this big need in my life? Well, for one thing, I can be thankful for the things that I already have. And by virtue of living here where I live in the United States of America, I have a lot to be thankful for that a lot of people around the world don't have. Right? And when you're thankful for what you have, God steps in. He brings His peace, His comfort, His security to you, His strength. He gives you what you need to get you through. One time, Teresa and I were headed to a conference that was in Banff, Alberta, Canada. This is when we lived up in Prince George. We were headed to this conference in Banff, and middle of winter. I think it's around American Thanksgiving. American Thanksgiving? Yeah, American Thanksgiving. We're headed to this conference. We left late one evening. We were riding with the youth pastor's wife. The youth pastor, he was already up at the conference. So we were riding with his wife up to the conference. We left 6-7 o'clock at night, and it was snowing. As we got on the road about 2-2.5 hours into that trip, it was snowing hard. It was snowing hard enough they had closed the road on both sides. We're out in the middle, and the road's closed on both ends. We spun out. We went across the other side of the highway and down probably a 20-25 foot embankment. The area we're at, heavily wooded area, lots and lots of trees. So we're going down the side of this embankment, and I'm bracing myself, preparing for the thump and the surge forward when we hit a tree. Well, the car comes to a stop at the bottom of this ravine, and no thump. God had guided us through all those trees without damaging the vehicle. Okay? This was an opportunity for us to grumble, to be concerned. You couldn't see the road from where we were. I mean, what were we going to do? Well, we climb out of the car, and we climb up to the road, hoping, praying that somebody's going to come by. God, please provide our need. We have a need here. And it's snowing. We're getting wet. We're getting cold. We could have been complaining about that, but for some reason, all three of us, I believe, you know, we were calm through this whole thing. First vehicle comes by. I mean, within moments of us getting back up to the road, first vehicle comes by, the semi-truck, and there's no way he can stop. You know, he hit his brakes, and he started fish time. He just kept on going. A few minutes later, this guy, big dog, little car. There's no way one of us could have gotten in that car with him, let alone all three of us, right? But he says, hey, I'll call the police, the RCMP. I'll call them, let them know that you're stranded out here. Again, we're starting to wonder, okay, are we going to end up spending the night out here? We could have become anxious about this whole thing. But no, I don't believe we were. You know, we kept praying. We kept trusting God. Within a half hour from the time that we went off the road, a third vehicle came by. It was a tow truck. He wasn't happy about being out that night, but he had been called out to pull out somebody else down the road. He went and pulled them out, and then he came and pulled us out. Again, we could have been complaining. We could have been upset about the whole thing, about our circumstances, but God provided what we needed. We were trusting in Him. He provided for what we needed. Were we thankful for running off the road getting stuck? No, we weren't. But we were thankful that we weren't hurt, that there was no damage to the vehicle. Were we thankful that we were getting cold and wet while we're praying, asking God to help us? Not really. We weren't thankful for that, but we were thankful that God sent the people by that He did. He sent what we needed. So let me ask you, what is it that you can pause and be thankful to God for today? Something that you haven't thanked Him for before, but He's already done it for you. You haven't taken the time to be thankful for it. Okay, here's our third decision. Jesus meets my needs when I keep bringing my needs to Jesus. Okay, now I know some of you are saying, hey, we've already talked about that. Why are we going through it again? Well, the truth is, we live in a broken world, and there are times in all of our lives when it feels like our needs are not being met, our prayers aren't being answered. Now, I don't have all the answers as to why that happens, there's times in our lives where it feels like our prayers aren't being answered. But I do know that Jesus promises us that if we trust Him, if we put Him in first place in our lives, that He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide whatever it is that we need. But we have to keep in mind that sometimes our needs are very different from our wants. Sometimes God doesn't always meet our needs on our timetable. And sometimes He doesn't always meet our needs the way we want them to or expect them to. But we always need to trust Him with our needs, because He will provide what it is that we need. Now, what we should not do, and you know, when you're praying, you're asking God for something, and you don't get it right away, what you should not do under any circumstance is to give up and quit praying. You know, all too often, when we pray, we ask God for something, and it doesn't happen right away, we think, oh, He's not going to answer that prayer. Or maybe, you know, we'll be real spiritual about it and say, oh, it must not be God's will, and we quit praying. In Luke's account of Jesus' life here on earth, Jesus tells us a story about someone who has an unexpected friend show up at his house late at night. So he goes to his neighbor's house, starts pounding on the door and saying, hey, a friend of mine has shown up and I don't have enough food. I don't have enough bread to share with him. Can I borrow some? The guy in the house, he hollers back out saying, what, are you nuts? You know what time it is? Go away, leave me alone, let me get back to bed. And then Jesus says, if you keep knocking at the door, sooner or later, that guy's going to get up, he's going to give you some bread just so he can get rid of you and he can get back to bed. And then Jesus adds, so I tell you, keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. Okay, in this verse, three different times, Jesus says, keep on. What does keep on mean? It means don't give up, right? Don't give up. Jesus, He's giving us permission to be shamelessly persistent about praying about whatever it is that we need. And the point here is, you know, sometimes we give up on important things way too easily. You know, whether it's your marriage, your career, your finances, you know, sometimes it might even be your relationship with God. We tend to give up when things get hard. But sometimes we need to be persistent. You know, we should not get discouraged. And when you keep bringing that need to Jesus, what you're doing is you're proving to yourself that you're relying on Him and not someone or something else. You're relying on Jesus to meet that need for you. You know, sometimes God doesn't answer right away. And sometimes that's because He wants you to learn something from Him in this situation. Look at what happened to the Apostle Paul. He says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from getting proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may work through me. We don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but we do know it was something that he felt that he needed to get rid of. It was something he wanted God to take care of. It says he even begged God over and over again. He was persistent in asking God Now, God never took that thorn away, never met that need that Paul felt that he had. But Paul learned something in the process. He learned to rely on God, and God gave him something that he needed more. God gave him his grace to endure. And for some of you, you may be going through something right now. You've asked God to take it away. You're asking God to provide that need, but he hasn't. And now you're becoming discouraged. Well, what Jesus wants to tell you is keep being persistent. Keep asking. Keep being persistent. Even if you don't get what it is that you want, trust that God is going to give you what you need. Trust that his grace will be sufficient. His grace to get you through this situation will be enough. But keep bringing your needs to Jesus. Okay, a fourth decision that you and I need to make is just as important, and that is, I celebrate when Jesus meets my needs. This is important. When Jesus gives me what I need to celebrate. I need to be thankful to him. I throw a party. I acknowledge that it was Jesus who met my need. You know, I give him the credit, the honor. I celebrate with Jesus what he's done for me. Going back to Luke, this time chapter 17, Luke tells us about another encounter Jesus has with 10 very sick men. It says, as Jesus entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Master here, it's that word, epistiestes. These 10 men, they knew that Jesus was the provider, that he was the master. They cry out, Jesus, epistiestes, have mercy on us. These 10 lepers. At the time, leprosy, it was an incurable skin disorder that was very disgusting and very contagious. So that made these 10 men outcasts. They, not only could they not associate, not only did they have to keep 6 feet of distance from everybody, they couldn't be with their family at all. They were out, complete outcasts of society. And they knew who Jesus is. They believed that Jesus could heal him. They went to him. They asked him for healing, and Jesus healed them. He healed all 10 of them. And you would think that all 10 of them would be very, very grateful for what Jesus had done for them, right? But only one of them paused long enough to come back to say thank you to Jesus, to celebrate with Jesus what he had done for him. This is in verse 16. It says, he fell face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go, for your faith has made you well. When Jesus does something for you, be like this one man, not like the other 9. Be like this one man. Take the time to thank God and celebrate with him what he has done for you. You know, all too often we forget to say thank you to God when he answers our prayers. And do you know what happens when you say thank you to Jesus for meeting your needs? What you're doing is you're settling in your mind who it is that met your need. You understand that it was Jesus' provision, that he did that for you. So let me ask you, what can you celebrate with Jesus in your life right now? What need is it that Jesus has met in your life that maybe you haven't paused long enough to say thank you for? Celebrate with him. Okay, our next decision, this is maybe probably the most important decision that we have to make if we want Jesus to meet our needs. And that is, Jesus meets my needs when I offer my entire life to Jesus. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, he could have fed everybody out there out of nothing. I mean, he's creator. He can create something out of nothing. He could have done that. But that's not what he did. Instead, Jesus says, I want you to bring what little you have to me first. And that's what he's telling us to do. Before Jesus meets your needs, he wants you to bring whatever little bit it is that you have to him first. You know, he wants us to offer our entire lives to him. You know, whatever it is that you have, offer it to Jesus. When you offer it to him, he'll take it, he'll bless it, he'll multiply it. He will use whatever little bit you give to him to meet your bigger needs. You know, many of us, we want Jesus to meet our needs, but we want to withhold what we currently have. But here's what we must understand. When I don't trust Jesus and I hold back in some area of my life, He's not able to meet my need in that area of my life. I can't receive His blessings, and I end up getting frustrated. I miss out on God's very best for me. Look at what Jesus says to us. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. When we offer our lives to Jesus, He blesses us. But if we hold back, we try to hang on to what we have, ultimately, we're going to end up losing that too. And we will miss out on the blessings that God has for us. So if you want Jesus to bless you financially, but you hold on to your money too tightly, and you don't honor God with it, He's not going to bless you in that area of your life. If you want Jesus to bless you with great relationships, but you don't give Him first place, you don't honor Him in the relationships that you currently have, He's not going to meet. He's not going to be able to meet that need that you have in that area of your life. Now, if there's a real need that you have in your life right now, the first step is to be sure that you give that over to Jesus. Make sure that He is in control that in that area. Give it over to Him. Whatever you have in that area, give it over to Him. You see, long before Dr. Maslow came up with his hierarchy of human needs, God already knew what your greatest needs were going to be. He's the one who created you. You know, before you were even born, He knew what your needs were going to be. And in order to meet those needs, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be the one who can meet your needs. Okay, our physical needs, Jesus, He fed the 5,000, He healed the 10 lepers. Trust Him with what you have. He will feed you. He will heal you. You know, our need to be loved. Jesus loves us so much that He gave His life for us on the cross. He created the church so that we could have a family of people to love us, to support us, to encourage us. A place where we can have healthy relationships. Our need to make a difference in this world, and it's Jesus is the one who gives you a mission in life. He gives you a purpose to live for so that you can live a fulfilling life. Okay, our need to be secure. You know, once you give your life over to Jesus, you belong to Him. Nothing or no one can take you out of His plan. Your future is secure forever. You see, whatever the need is that you have today, bring it to Jesus. Be thankful to Him and give your entire life to Him. And when you do that, you receive this promise from God. This is going to be our meditation verse for this week. So let's read this out loud together. Ready? He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Right? That's God's promise to you. Live for Him, make the kingdom of God your primary concern in this life, and He will ensure that every need that you have will be met. Let's pray together.